The topic of the shiur today, I'm going to call Corona Potpourri. We're going to discuss different questions of Corona and maybe misconceptions you might have had of some things I said last week. I didn't give both sides of the story. So first of all, I'm dedicating the shiur for Refuah Shleima to Tzvi Ben Pesha. My father-in-law, unfortunately, is in the hospital already for a week. And they're trying to figure out what's wrong with him. We should be zeicha to see only Yeshua's for him and all of Klal Yisrael and all the many, many cholim there are. Number two, today's my father's birthday. A happy birthday. Yeah, I am. Hey, Dad! It's 3 in the morning. But I want to wish him a happy birthday because the only reason why you're hearing Shir today is because of him. I know that's how it works biologically. But his love of Torah, which was very unique in the five towns when I grew up, is what I wanted to be addicted to. So he gave me a very fair addiction. So yesh koyach to him. He should have a richas yamim v'shanim together with my wonderful mother. You have a question, right? I didn't say anything. Can I say the third thing? I wanted to also dedicate this year for a, I'm trying to think of the appropriate Hebrew word, but a givush tov to our soldiers, Tzva Hagana Yisrael, Halom Din, Ma'am Mishmar Tzeno, that are drafting tomorrow?
That's a great
question. Whenever it might be, it should be done with safety, great safety, respect, and recognize that as much as you are the Tzva Hagana Yisrael, we only have one person to rely upon, and that is the Ribbono Shel Olam, exactly. We are Tzvot Hashem, fighting in the army, in Rekayim. You know, it's amazing because the amount of mitzvahs that a person can do in the day is remarkable, right? You have a mezuzah on the door, you're getting mitzvahs every second, you're wearing tzitzis every second, right? You're dressing appropriately, and there's a lot of mitzvahs. But to serve in the army is a mitzvah midoraisa that you get every second, even when you're sleeping in the army. It's an amazing thing. Think about that. And always keep in mind Hashem, who is the one that is ultimately always protecting us. I guess we'll go to the question part now that I didn't even ask to say anything. Yes? What? Oh, yes. So in my home, every Shabbos, when we used to have students back in the day before Corona, we would bring around a candy. Sometimes students would, I know this is weird, but students would buy gifts because they understand that usually doesn't exist in the Levit Torah, but let's say. And you have a little candy thing, and I wouldn't give it. You can't just get candies. What is this? You have to answer a question. So I have different categories. So the categories always were Parsha, whatever the next holiday is, and I don't know, Navi. right? In Svanya, fine. So it would be, right, Parsha, whatever, this, and then it would be, you know, Parsha, whatever, Pesach, whatever the holiday was coming up, and then there was always a thing called Potpourri. My kids love it. Potpourri. And they're like, we don't know what Potpourri is. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Nobody listens anyway. So Potpourri is basically, I can ask you any question I want. It's a selection. So when you talk about Corona, there's so much you can discuss. I actually was trying to find, I had given a brief shiur between Mincha Ma'ariv in the shul that I daven in now in my neighbor's backyard next door to me. And I spoke about this Rav Asher Weiss Tshuva, and I you know, contrasted it with what we spoke about last week. So just as a reminder, if we have time, I want to discuss three topics. So topic number one, we discussed already last week, and it came to another topic because I told the two Rav Zilberstein stories. And as I told you, Rav Zilberstein is always going to come off with, and I don't mean this in a negative way, very outlandish questions, and sometimes the answers are outlandish as well. My son and I have a minhag, Baruch Hashem for me, that every evening, sometimes I have to remind him, but we sit and learn for a few minutes before he goes to sleep. So last night, again, these type of shilas come up as a... So just give you like an example. This is last week's this week's parsha, of course, as we know. Parsha's Vayechi. We talk a lot about burial. So the story is of a stama question, and then my son reminded me of the real question this probably was. So the question was about a person who's walking in the street, and somebody comes up to him. He's just walking in the street and comes up to him, and he says, "Nu, did you know the mace?" He's like, "What?" And he realizes that he's in the middle of a levaya, walking in a levaya. And they go back and forth. He quotes many unbelievable sources, Rabbi Zilberstein, in explaining that probably it would be so. He quotes the son of the Node of Yehuda, for example, and says that when a person's used to give a mitzvah, even if he doesn't know that he's actually doing the mitzvah, he probably would get the mitzvah. And he brings different rayas. But then my son reminded me that there was a similar shiloh This is really a good Shiloh, because this is the ethical Shiloh, where the guy is pulled over and he has to go to the bathroom. And he can't, I don't know if it's the same way in America, but in Eretz Yisrael, there's many signs in many places, no service, no services. You know, like, you can't use the bathroom if you don't buy something. So he says, I got a great idea. He pulls over at a Pesach Kavaros. And he's running to go to the bathroom. And he gets out of the car, and once you know it, the moment he gets out of the car, there's a Leviah. So he's not going to run past Leviah, hit the casket, fall on the floor, you know what I mean? No. So he walks together with the casket, runs to the bathroom. As he gets out of the bathroom, there's somebody waiting for him. And he says, so I'm going to need your name and phone number. And the guy's like, wow, this is a really fancy funeral. I mean, like, I'm getting in trouble. Like, I'm going to get a ticket or something for going to the bathroom? Like, come on. And he's like, why? And he gets very defensive. And he's like, anybody that came to the Levi, I saw you were there. You're at the processional. So and nobody knows this yet, but I'll tell you. The guy that died recognized that he had no family, known anything, and he thought nobody would come to the Levaya. And he said that when I die, I don't want anybody to announce any details about the Levaya, but anybody that shows up, $10,000. So that was the Rav Zilberstein questions. Yeah, so that's like the Rav Zilberstein questions. No, so the tachlis was that he did go. He was there. You know, and then it always ends the tshuva usually saying either, and then I spoke to Rav Yashav and he said, no, you're crazy, you can't take the money, or, Midil Chasidus, maybe you should give the money to Stuck, something like that. I don't remember this particular question. So yesterday we discussed the most modern outlandish question. Yes, son?
But theoretically, in that case, he could have just ran past the Leviathan.
Right. So that, in the first Shiloh, it was the same thing. They said, but betachlis, you did do a mitzvah. Even if you don't know about doing the mitzvah, you did the mitzvah. Balishma, tochlishma, whatever you want to say, but I'm sorry, I don't have it here, but he quotes like a ton of different sources that seems to, it goes both ways, and then says at the end, yeah, he thinks that he would. He said, then he asked Rav Yashar, and Rav Yashar said, yeah, you think you're still mekayim a mitzvah. Even if you're doing a mitzvah, you're not sure. Again, I'll just give you an example. It just came to my mind. Years and years ago, one of my most wonderful scams I ever did was that when you're a business guy in YU, you're in business school, so they make you take a science, which was not a subject Dale Hartson was good at. So I was really in trouble because they had really hard sciences there. Bio and chem was really hard. So a bunch of our friends got together and we had to figure out how we're going to not take science. I have to take science. So my friend said, you're not going to believe this. I have a friend who last year took marine biology in the Gulf of Eilat. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, we'll go to Israel for the summer. We'll spend, I think it was a two-week course, but it's a two-week course from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., which is like the same amount, and it's the bio, what's the lab? The lab is going scuba diving. It's not a joke. So he says it's through the Hebrew University, totally accredited, and it's marine biology. Marine biology, we got to get it. Okay, so they said to me, Hartson, you got to go. You got to do it. You're a good talker, whatever. So first I went to the grandfather of Nirenberg, Dean Nirenberg, and Aloha Shalom, and he said to me, ooh, this is a good one. He goes, I can't approve. You got to go to the dean of the school. Here we go, fine. So I think at the time, his name was, if I'm not mistaken, they were switching deans. I think his name was Dean Adler. And I went to the office, and I'm like, well, you can't have an appointment with the dean. I'm like, oh, stop it. Come on. Fine, she let me in. So I sat with him, and I did some name dropping, and I told him, my grandfather was one of the founders of YU, and he goes, oh yeah, I know your grandfather. He goes, what are you doing? And I remember him looking at the course thing, and he started laughing. He goes, so here's the problem. There's no way possible I could approve this course, because it's a joke. He goes, but there's no way possible I can't approve the course, because technically it fulfills something, but I know you're going there, you're just going to party. I know, go for Velada. He goes, I have too much information. He goes, but I have to approve it. And he approved it. And got the stamp, the whole thing. Yeah, now I'm a rebiologist, exactly. So it was, he was partly right. It definitely was a little bit of a scam. We got there and they said to us, oh, this course, not 2 weeks. We do it 1 week, maybe 1 week, you know? Okay, fine. There was people from all over the world, literally, taking this course. They were very, very respectful because it was me, my two friends, and there happened to be two guys from Shalavim, and they were extremely respectful. So when we went to the lab part, it was really true, we had separate labs. So when I went scuba diving, it was only with guys. It was very, very respectful. Unfortunately for us, maybe not unfortunately, it was literally in the It was on the beach of Eilat, this little university. And next door, I always remember this, was a place called Migdalos every night, 2 o'clock in the morning. Boom, boom, boom. The music was like ridiculous. And I remember, of course, so we realized as two YU guys that we had a great opportunity. And we decided that we are going to make Shabbos. These people were, they all were Jewish. They were all from different places. And we said, we're going to make a Shabbos or Shabbos. So they were very good about kosher. I mean, of course, everything's kosher, but about kosher food. And we said to them, but Shabbos, we want to make a real, and the guy was totally into, I remember, he's not totally not religious. He's like, wow, that's amazing. To make them feel Shabbos, it was very traditional. So they got a Shabbos food, the whole thing. And we actually had decided that we were going to go to a hotel. It wasn't the Queen of Sheba. I think it was called the Princess. I don't know. I remember it was right by Taba. That's where we were. Like, you could literally walk if you wanted to the border of Egypt. And we were going to get meals. It ended up that's where we davened. And Friday night, we did this amazing meal. I just still remember it because it was amazing. I think the meal lasted till like 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was all the people were, yeah, and then you hear Migdalos, boom, 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 shalom aleichem, malacheh, I promise you. They're like, shalom, shabbat shalom, nikulam. Like, it's shabbat. And we kept everyone. They didn't go. And we spoke about Shabbos. And these people didn't know anything about Shabbos. And I remember afterwards, I happened to make I gave him a vort, you know, that people said that you should always have a vort in your pocket. Like, you should always know, especially like yeshiva bachrim, you know, you need to come home, and it's between Menachem Ayyub. They're like, oh, Moshe can obviously speak between Menachem Ayyub. He's almost a rabbi. He went to Israel for 2 years. Fine. Right? So you always should have something in your pocket not to be embarrassed. So I used to always give the vort. I actually heard it from my uncle's father, Rabbi Sturm. And it was Rabbi Chanan ben Akash Omer. This is what we all say, you know, after the mourners Kaddish Yit Gadal. So what do they say? Rabbi Chanan ben Akash Omer. Ratzal Kodesh Baruch Lezakos as Yisrael. Lefich Hir Ben Torah Mitzvah. They wanted to, right? God wanted to give us a gift. And you know what gift he gave us? A lot of Torah and a lot of mitzvahs. Yeah. Right? So if you're a Shana Aleph and Yeshiva, you're like, hey, God, you want to give me a gift? No Torah mitzvahs? Like, I don't want to wake up early. Like, I don't want to do a, are you crazy? On Shabbos 30, I'm like, are you crazy? No, Hir Ben Torah Mitzvahs, because many Perushim talk about this, but I heard this from our server. Our server said, you know why? Because we do mundane things and we get mitzvahs for it. It's amazing. We just talk about the army, right? So right, literally you put your shoes on a certain way, oh, yishkoyach. But honestly, right, and this is, I heard this from Rav Moshe Tendler once said, he said, you know, really, when you shave in the morning, when you get up in the morning and you use your electric shaver, you should go into the base medrash and do it. Why? Because it's a mitzvah midoraisa. What do you mean a mitzvah? What mitzvah is it? Not using. You decided to wake up in the morning and not use a razor. Okay, to you, it's, you know, when you went to I'm not challenged. Please don't accept this challenge. But I challenge you to try to find non-kosher food in Beit Shemesh. It's impossible. How are you going to do that, right? Non-kosher means I'm going to the Rabbanut, right? I'm going to go to Reuben's. You know, like, no. But it's very hard. It's very hard, right? There's some Russian supermarkets I got to introduce you to that, unfortunately, sell tarbos. But in any case, right? So this guy comes up to me, real serious. He goes, wait a minute. He had a little bit of a beard, but he said, I don't use razors. I haven't used razors. You're telling me that when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, not Shabbos morning, but I shave, I get a mitzvah? He goes, I never knew that. He said, well, questions, you have to be cognizant that it's a mitzvah. I said, yeah, from now on, wake up every morning and say, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this. So he says, wait, there are regular things I can do? I go, yeah. You know, and that was the springboard of saying this line, which, you know, I actually heard this from Charlie Harari, this line of God doesn't hate you, right? Reform and conservative people think God must hate them. Why? Because they do so many things that are not the tradition. And just because you're Machal Shabbos doesn't mean God hates you. There's so many good things that you do. It's a very interesting idea. Anyway, let's get to our discussion. So, thinking about doing good things. So, we had a great opportunity during COVID to do very easy mitzvahs. And honestly, by a person listening to the rules right now and staying home, as I am now at home, staying home, you get a mitzvah. Because the government said this is what you do. V'shamar t'modis nasr seicham. You're saving other people's lives. And by wearing a mask, these are mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, unbelievable mitzvahs. By getting the vaccine, by the way, mitzvahs as well. Not just for you, right? So, we last week spoke about the Indian of Moiser. Can you tell on somebody who's not following the rules? And we spoke out, besides the major halachas of Mesira, which we tried to define because we saw the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rambam, Gemara always said that Mesira in itself, telling on another person, you have no chez liyom haba, we don't trust your shechita, we don't, like, terrible. And then we gave the chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan, and we said, no, doesn't apply today because there are just governments, and we joked about how He called the Russian Tsar and all the Tsars that exist just, but it was a code word to speak about England, who had just got this thing called the Constitution, and it's equal rights for everyone, and that's Tzitz Eliezer's tshuva. But then we told the story about Rav Zilberstein, and we said that Rav Zilberstein was asked very recently, and what I try to tell you is, in both cases I'm about to tell you, both of them was somewhat retracted. They tried to get it off the internet. I heard it. It was a phone call, and it was taped. It was a wiretap. Hello, is this Mr. Rabbi Zilberstein? Yeah. So this guy called, and he said, listen, I go to a minyan, just going to reiterate the story. I go to a minyan, I know you heard this last week, right? And there's two sides, right? There's the mask wearers and the not mask wearers, and he got into a fight with the guy who wasn't wearing a mask on the side. Now, obviously, just so we're clear, I think that all minyanim should follow the rules, and obviously you should wear a mask when you have to wear a mask. And in fact, people are being saved today, literally, from being in bidud because of the fact that they wore masks outside and it's not considered to be bidud, right? I'm now, unfortunately, have two kids that are in bidud. Thank God, both of them tested negative the first time. But one of them, excuse me for being honest, she's in bidud a little bit because her teacher violated some of the rules and regulations. I'm not going to get into the specifics, but in schools, they don't have these. I don't know why also it's so cheap to do this. They don't have this. And she said that her teacher consistently did not wear a mask when she would teach. She would say, oh, it bothers me. And she wore one of these masks. So technically, if she didn't get it from that. She also got it because my daughter doesn't have it. My wife couldn't go to work because she worked in an old age home. They said if your daughter is in bidud, you can't go to work. Also, because we weren't 100% machmir, supposed to stay in the room and we make kiddush and things like that. Baruch Hashem, everybody tested negative, but she put other people at risk. So Reb Zilberstein's question is, can you tell on the person? And he answered, as we said, he said, yeah, you did something wrong by screaming at the guy because you didn't call the police. And we were shocked by that. How can it be? Right? Now he would have to, we assumed, although he didn't say this, but I think Rav Zilberstein's derech, as we spoke out, is that you always have to give a warning. I spoke out that the conversations that I had with Rav Schechter on this exact matter, so you always have to give a warning to the person. You always have to warn them and say, listen, if you don't do this, right? If you don't quiet your dog at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to call the kennel. And it's going to cost you money to get your dog out. If you continue to park in this handicap spot, I'm going to call. We always said all those things. Rav Schechter saw the same thing. But Rav Schechter was a little bit more makel, and he said, again, if it's an immediate danger, like this case he told me about in Brooklyn where somebody said, I need to call the police because they're building a legal basement, and from what I figure out, the basement actually is in my driveway. So it could be when I park my car, right? And I told him, and he doesn't say, oh, who are you? What are you? You have a Suras Ayin, you don't care. You're having an Ayin Hara on me. This week's parasha, we're talking about Ayin Hara. Okay, so Rav Zilberstein surprisingly answered, it's a mitzvah, you should call them. So it's over. We were kind of shocked that that's the Haredi way. And then he said, well, he meant it in this way, but he said it. So that's betachas, he did say it. But then the second thing that I said, which is our second potpourri topic, which is a hard topic, which is very controversial, somebody that gets COVID, right? And you find out why they get COVID, because they didn't follow the rules and regulations, right? So the example that I gave, which is the one that was quoted in the name of the Belzer Rebbe, it's an article that I have quoted before, that when the Belzer Rebbe got COVID, had it for quite some time, nobody knew about it. And they brought him, they brought the hospital to him, right? And you can say whatever you want about this, it's not a good story, but Hadassah said, we'll make you a deal. This is this part I made up, but I think that this is probably true. Instead of the Hasidim of Belz, which are in the thousands, going to Shari Tzedek, they'll now go to Hadassah. Because Hadassah, brought him a bed and so on and so forth. And then it came out. So they asked Rav Zilberstein, does he want to attend a Atzeres Tefillah, a special gathering, obviously social distance gathering, they're going to have to daven for the Belzer Rebbe. And he said, daven for the Belzer Rebbe? Isn't it true that he got COVID because he had an illegal wedding of his grandchild? Where 10,000, whatever it was, thousands of people showed up. The police knew about it, but didn't go in because they're scared of the Haredim, which I don't understand, but okay. So that's not fair. Now you just said about the Satmar Rebbe. So the first story about, this is the second Satmar Rebbe. There's two Satmar Rebbe.
They both got it.
Right? They both got it, yeah. So, right. Reb Zalman and Reb Ari Leib. So in the beginning, which is the one in Muncie, Reb Ari Leib. In Monroe, I'm sorry. So my mashkiach in our company, he's from Monroe, so he's the other. And then he told me that there's another sect of Hasidim that actually followed the Rebbetzin's Hasidus, meaning the Rebbetzin's not a Rebbe, but they follow in the ways of the old Rebbe because they don't think these two deserve it. Whatever, it's a long story, but not for us now. We think everybody gets along within Satmar; they don't get along with each other. I'm sure you've, police have been called many times. So now, how did he get it? Because they were at a wedding, the same type of thing. So Rav Zilberstein thought that you don't daven for a chola of corona or any chola if you gave it to yourself. Now, I don't have this well documented for you. I didn't bring with me, but it just literally came up when one of the students said, "Oh, you don't understand." There's two sides to the story, because Rav Zilberstein does say that, and he says, and it seemingly makes sense. You put yourself in the makom of sakana, so why should I go ahead and daven for you now? Now, it's a little easy thing to daven for you. Rav Usher Weiss emphatically disagrees with this, and he says, and he doesn't quote, he doesn't know Rav Zilberstein said this, but he says, first of all, when it comes to corona, you can't prove 100% where it came from. That's ridiculous. And Rav Zilberstein's, Rav Usher Weiss's very sad case, right when corona came out, was an unbelievably sad case. And you have to admit, we know a lot more now about corona than we did, March and April time. So Nebuchadnezzar was a doctor. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he worked in an old age home. His son wasn't feeling well, and he had signs of corona, and they brought him to be tested. So now the doctor goes to work. So if I understood correctly, the rules at that time, maybe they haven't changed, is that he should not go to work. Similar to my daughter, and what they told my wife, you can't go to work if your daughter was just, let's see what the test results are. And he came to work, and he directly infected, because he had corona, a number of the nursing home people, and whatever the number, I forgot the number, six people, as a direct result of what he did, died. And now he calls Rav Usher Weiss, and he's like, he feels horrible. So the first thing is that the question that he asked was, at a grumma or garmi, do we consider it to be a direct result? This is a very big topic when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, right? When a person sets something up to happen on Shabbos, so we generally assume that that's mutter because it's not with my hands like a Shabbos clock. Rav Moshe Feinstein was very against Shabbos clocks for anything other than lights, because he envisioned something crazy that he wrote, that people are going to use Shabbos clocks for things that we shouldn't be using on Shabbos, like TVs, which happened. Rav Moshe Feinstein, it is not a well-accepted tshuva. Rav Moshe Feinstein does not allow Shabbos clocks for air conditioners. Now, one could argue, as a fair argument, that Rav Moshe would allow it today. Rav Moshe's reservation about it was, are people going to know when I walk into the house and I hear the word, I hear a beep, and you hear the thing go on, go, dude, you just said, right? We make a joke sometimes when the lights go on, go, Hartstein, you charge a light, right? We know that that's the Shabbos clocks, and everybody understands what Shabbos clocks are now, and nobody walks into people's houses and thinks, because the air conditioning goes on and off the light, nobody thinks that they know that they're Shabbos clocks. So I don't think that that's a problem, actually, at all. And as long as you know what the situation is. Just reminded me of a story, y'all. I don't know why that just came up to my mind. I think the way I remember the story correctly. Young Israel of Ulit, the great Rabbi Mandelbaum, Zichron Levracha, was the rabbi. And I was hired, your father hired me with your uncle. I think I was like a mashkiach or something. They needed a mashkiach. I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing, obviously. I was in high school. But anyway, so they had some really weird, oven where it would, when you open the door, it would go on and off, the exhaust would go on and off, so your father did it in some way with a Shabbos clock that you didn't know when it was going on and off, and that made it mutter, similar to like a refrigerator. So I remember your uncle saying to me, he's like, no, my father said it's okay, you can have it. I can't open this. He goes, no, it's okay, like a refrigerator. And I was like, okay, fine. I got scared, and I was like, I was in high school anyway, I'm like, I don't really care anyway. But so that's the question. So it was grumo garmi, did I cause it? So again, there's a tremendous amount of tshuva. The guy can't do anything anymore. But when it comes to the chola, so Rav Usher Weiss argued that, of course, we daven for a chola. First of all, clearly, I hope, he has regret now for what he did and being not listening to the rules. And he doesn't say this, but, do we argue that maybe there's a Tinok Shanishba accusation, which is they don't know any better. They got the wrong information in the communities they're in, thinking that this is, they read all the wrong articles, that this is fake, and this is a way for the government to control you and put on a muzzle, and like all these different crazy things that you've heard. And, I send you reports that say this doesn't help either. So it's sad. I was walking with my wife yesterday, one of the few things you're allowed to do now during the Seger. I'm not going to say where we were walking, but we were walking in a more Haredi neighborhood. And my wife and I were shocked to see nobody was wearing, nobody was wearing masks. Now, the answer usually that's given is, we had the COVID already. We had the COVID. I'm like, you had the COVID? What COVID? Got an aliyah? He goes, no, the COVID. Okay. Again. What?
That might be true. Meaning, the studies, I was reading some crazy articles about people in Williamsburg, and there was like a doctor who was already like in March. He's like, yeah, in the next 3 days, I expect over 90% to have it.
There was a tremendous amount, but the sad part is, people are still dying like crazy, including unfortunately in the Jewish population. So it's hard to say that. And anyway, we have something called low plug. I think this is going to be the rules in Israel. We're number one, as you know, in the world now, getting the vaccines, which is amazing. And when many of the people get vaccines, I still believe that their government is going to still tell us we have to wear masks because there's going to be something called low plug. He didn't get the vaccine, and he did. So how do you know? So what do you have? It's not going to work. Right, that's to come in and out. But you're not going to show your passport when you're in the Osharad, and this guy's wearing and this guy isn't. And this guy's, no, I had to. I say, okay, show me your passport. Oh, I didn't bring my passport. It's a problem. Yeah, I'm sorry, you want to say something?
You can have a fun if you don't have your passport.
They can't have the guy, no, but you can't have a police officer stopping every person. Go ahead.
Just to respond to that one thing, and then I have a question. It's fine for not wearing a mask an hour, and it's not that good. Because I can't give you a fine. The police can give you.
I'll tell you something very strange. They just Mavatel, I think as of tomorrow or whatever, there's no more, you don't have to go to a hotel anymore. Besides the fact it got horrible press, these hotels are unfortunately, it seems like, not very good conditions at all. I just saw a report of people who made Aliyah this week, I think from England. And when they were on the plane, they made an announcement and they said, we just want to tell everybody, as opposed to the normal hotels that people are going to, you're going to a 5-star hotel, the Crown Plaza in Tel Aviv, it's going to be great. And they got like pretty excited, you know? And this woman takes pictures of the hotel. She says, first of all, the hotel has not been cleaned since the beginning of COVID. It was disgusting. And she takes pictures of it, and it was terrible. Like, and then she shows the meals that she was getting, and it really was like scary. So they're moved out to that. Why did they even think of it to begin with? Just so, for your point, because people were not keeping the COVID regulations appropriately. Meaning, when I was in again, you could tell me it's the job of the police, but the police can't go, you know, in Beit Shemesh, right? I don't know what the numbers are. There's 3,000, whatever cases, right? They got to be over 1,000, you know. So they're going to go to everybody's house to check, and then how do they check that you stayed in your room? I'm saying it's not an easy thing. So that's why they started this thing. So it's true. People in general, unfortunately, don't follow the rules. What was your question? Sorry. Correct. So now what do you find the Rebbe?
Yeah, I'm saying, or in these cases where all the rabbis who was it about sick at the wedding?
Yeah.
He's the one who was telling people to wear.
Yep. So I'm not, exactly. So I'm not saying, again, Rav Zilberstein clearly came out and said that. He retracted and said he wasn't talking about the Pelzer Rebbe. I don't believe that. I'm sorry to say that against Rav Zilberstein, but I don't believe that. I think he knew. I think he just got in trouble for saying it. And I think it's a fair point where Rav Asher Weiss comes is to say, well, you know, maybe he had regret. Listen, we say nowadays the same thing. I'm not applying it exactly directly, but just hear me out. By suicide, almost every time, we bury them regularly in a regular cemetery, even though that's not the traditional halacha. Why? Because we understand what psychological illness is now. And we understand that a person's not necessarily always in control. Right, and a person who has a psychological episode in general, you're not going to go up to them the next day and be like, dude, what was that? I can't believe you cursed me out. And he's like, I don't even remember what happened yet. So what do you mean? It doesn't make any sense what you're saying. So I think that there could be an argument also is that these people just fundamentally are not taught the right way. And it's not fair. Besides the fact, it's not 100% sure that he got it from this exact incident and so on and so forth. There are some wonderful, amazing people who kept every rule and regulation and got COVID. Okay, it happens. And some very, very sad stories out there, obviously, and you know, it's a bit too much to handle. So there is two sides of the story as far as davening for Cholim. Again, along the same lines about do we daven for a Russia? Do we daven for... So in certain circumstances, we say, yeah, what if they're doing tshuva? What if this person now, right? I don't want to give names, right? What if that person now is very sick and says to the Rebbeinu Shalom, I can't believe I told all my Hasidim, I can't believe I... And he did tshuva. So now he did tshuva. The whole topic I'm discussing this week is not for you guys, but the Rabashkin case. Right? And my yisod of everything I'm talking about, right? We spoke about the Inyan of Pidyon Shvuyim, a beautiful tshuva by Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where he says, well, Pidyon Shvuyim is when you didn't do something wrong. They stop and take Jews for no reason. But there is an element that if this guy was going around and telling people that he did something wrong, and now he wants to talk, I would argue to say that the greatest Musar Vort ever is if Rav Moh brought somebody in, right? Let's say he wants to speak about, not in our yeshiva, of course, but let's say, Mazel Tov, let's say that alcohol consumption was a very big problem in the yeshiva, right? So what does he do? So Rav Moh brings a former alcoholic into the yeshiva. He brings a former alcoholic, this is the mamash, the Eitzahara trying to get you off the Ovator. Right? So he brings in a former alcoholic into the yeshiva. Right? So you're going to listen to that guy's story much more than some guy that gets up and says, guys, you really shouldn't be drinking. I mean, I haven't had a drink in my life, but you should. I understand that guy. So there is something here to understand. And I side with Rav Asher Weiss on this. You never know. How can you not daven for him? Maybe he did tshuva. Yes?
So I was reading more about the situation. His brother had it months ago. Aaron's brother had it months ago.
Okay.
And he told people to keep the schools open.
Yep.
So he knew the risks.
Yep.
And his brother, I'm assuming, knew that his brother was dying.
Wasn't dying.
Or possibly. Yeah.
They don't really talk to each other, but okay.
No, but he knew of the news. Let's say he heard on the news, whatever, some indirect way, whatever.
Just for the record, I believe that they also were very into that. Just have everybody get it. Let everybody get it now, and then we won't have a room. And if I could just point another thing out, which is really bad, when I was in America a few weeks ago, there was this huge wedding where they violated the law and had a wedding, and shockingly, after he made all the stuff, Cuomo, who we now clearly see is not the biggest fan of Jews, one might call him anti-Semitic.
I wonder why.
But okay, that doesn't give you an excuse to be anti-Semitic. But he made a wedding, knowing what COVID was, and knowing how sick he got, and knowing that people... It's a very sad thing, you're right. But again, once the person then becomes the chola, you know...
He's not throwing shivish about beating.
Okay, right.
So then he's just...
You're saying because he knows... Right, bad. Okay, fair, that's fair. Fair. Yeah.
You go first.
Okay, thanks.
What is the bottom line? Do we daven for them? Do we not?
I would hold like Rav Asher Weiss. I think that you should daven for them. Suffolk davening. First of all, when you daven for somebody, guess what? You're helping yourself as well. I say this many times. What is the point of davening for a chola anyway? What am I doing? What's this heebie-jeebie stuff? Okay, we're going to say now Tehillim for the chola. What does that mean? Schuyot for who?
Makes you a better person.
Yeah, it's like tefillah, I think. But I did that because of him.
Yeah.
Right? As I said, today's my father's birthday. So you wish him all the bracha in the world, but what's the greatest gift you can give a parent, I hope, is that he looks at his kids and he says, wow, right? My daughter went along the right derech. My son, okay. No. Right over. But I'm saying no. What did I do with that man? Right? No, but I'm saying so. I think that's distinctly going to be part of the equation. It has to be part of the equation, right? Yeah. Sorry, you wanted to say something else. You just asked a question. I cut you off.
It's okay. So shouldn't you just buy yourself another set of shots, like another volume of Mishnah Torah,
or something like that? So just to end the story. So what's happening is that when we daven for a chol, this is what would be my argument. This would be my argument. I've said this before to the back when I worked here. So you have, I know this is very, we're playing with, you could argue against me because it's almost a little bit stupid, but excuse me for the S word. But mincha's over and somebody, we're going to say two perek tehillim for, you know, so-and-so's grandmother is sick. Fine. And you say the tehillim. So my argument is, wait a minute, what would you have been doing during that time? You would be going to shir. So now you're not going to shir. She goes, it's only 30 seconds, who cares? Okay, fine. But I think learning has even better effect, potentially, of saying, guys, learn better than you normally learn. You'll be learning anyway, but learn better. I'm saying an extra parak of Torah, right? I'm doing something a little bit better to better myself in zchus of acholah. Oh, that's what we're talking about. It's not that, and I've heard a shir about this, which is a scary shir. When I say the shir is dedicated for Refuah Shleima for my father-in-law, and b'schus my father's birthday, does that mean you guys didn't get a schus of Talmud Torah today? Right? So some say, yeah, I'm basically saying, I want, you know, like the stories about whatever story you want to tell, David HaMelech's life, about the year, you look, so I lost schuyos? No, we don't say that. Most contemporary achronim that I've seen say, no, you don't lose your schuyos, but you're saying, I want it to be known that the reason why I'm learning better than I normally learn, or more than I normally learn, which I always said is the corona example, is for a person to change a little bit. So, you know, when you tell your children about corona, they're going to be like, oh, here's another corona story. And you say to them, do you know the reason why I do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum today? It's because of corona. I wanted to take something upon my head. That's doing more than you ever did before. My Shmona Esrei is 30 seconds longer. Because I decide that when it comes to Rifayim, I'm going to spend more time. When I say the bracha, which I never thought before, Rav Penner said this, I never thought of this. One of the first days, when the day that his shul closed, was a very emotional. I just remember the video, it was so emotional. And he said, we have to think, Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha, v'karveinu makinu l'avodasecha, v'achasireinu b'zeshuva shleim l'fanecha. Rav Kook says, it's not just tshuva of tshuva. It's tshuva that Hashem should put us back. Tshuva means we're back to the state that we should be. And there are some things in life, and sometimes in life, we can't be where we should be. And he said, today's that day. Today's the day we close all the shuls. And when we say that bracha, think about Rav Kook saying, I want to return to a shul. When I daven every morning, like I've been davening, unfortunately, going to be very close to a year for the last 10 months in a non-shul facility because of my decision to do that. I know that people gradually are going back into shuls. But even if you're in a shul, it's not the same shul that it was before. Maybe some people say it's actually better because I'm not sitting next to anybody and I can't talk, but okay. But it's not the same. You should recognize, when you do little things, you guys don't understand what I'm talking about because you have this chos of davening yeshiva. But when I could do tachanun, with going down on tachanun with my yad because there's a Torah, I don't have a sefer Torah, I can't even do that. This morning I had a great simcha, I know it sounds strange, but I'm strange as you know. Where finally that kid that davens with us every morning in our 8 o'clock minyan was bar mitzvah. He's bar mitzvah today. So he was able to, I don't even know who he is. No, he was able to do birchas kohanim. We only hear birchas kohanim on Shabbos because there's no kohen all week. And I'm like, wow, there's another schus. Normally you go to shul, there's already a kohen there. You take things for granted. Just finish your point if you wanted to.
So, do you daven for Rodai?
For who?
Rodai.
I would think that it's a good question. This comes to the Russia question, right? Do we daven for a Russia? A Russia?
I don't know if we call them. Do you have to call a Rodai for Russia?
I would definitely call a Rodai for Russia. If anybody else, I would call a Russia. I mean, if he did something that's really a Rodai, the question is, what? How do you define Rodai? Is there, you know? Obviously, I'm not talking about Rodai. We don't kill Rodfim today. Chas v'shalom. But
Right.
So we have to figure that. So I don't think, you know, the same question you ask about, Rav Zilberstein actually has this question as well, about davening for a non-Jew, right? He's partners with this guy for many years, and he becomes sick. I just saw a video. I'm very enamored by the videos of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I have so many videos of him. So they had a woman come, African-American woman, I like the word black now, black woman, come, and she took care of the Rebbetzin. She had passed away, and she said, I just wanted to come to get one last bracha from you, Rebbe. You're such an amazing person, and your wife was so amazing. And he said, I pray for you as well. What you did for my wife will never be forgotten. So, oh, how can he pray? Why is that wrong? Says, so many say that. Okay, so, I don't know if you're going to say Misha Berach, Yivarach, yes, you know, Chris Ben, you know, Mary, you know, whatever. Maybe that's pushing it, but a person is allowed to have in mind. So again, I would just think the traditional tefillah. This is not a joke now. Rav Zilberstein has another shayla. We could go all day on Rav Zilberstein. This is really true. Where a guy comes to a shul and he wants to donate. They're building a base medrash for kiruv, whatever it is. And he says, I'll give all the money. The rabbi's so happy. He's been trying to get money for this kiruv organization, whatever. And he says, what's the name going to be? We'll name it anything. You know, you give the money, we'll name it anything. He says, I want it to be called Base Igor. So he says, oh, was Igor your father? He's a Russian guy. Igor's your father. He goes, my father? No, Igor's my dog. my dog just died, and I want to dedicate something to Zeichon Nishmasa. Now, Baruch Hashem, it wasn't, you know, base fluffy, or, you know what I'm saying, like something that's obvious. And Rav Zilberstein said, this doesn't sound very good to do that. So I don't know by a Mishnah Berach V'Cholom, but maybe I'm wrong. It's definitely in literature. I've read it before, I just don't remember. Yeah, you were going to say something?
So
maybe?
I think, like, you were talking about the whole scar thing. I don't think I have a lot of scar, but I would want whatever scar I have to be for, like, good reasons. And I think that at this point, the Sadhus have said that if we get COVID and we get better, we're going to keep doing our practices, which is shown by what they did. Meaning, they knew that his brother got COVID. And he continues to do the practice. So I think that if he gets better now, he's going to keep doing the practice.
So then maybe it's appropriate to daven that they should see the right way and do the right thing.
But I don't daven that he should be able to have another wedding.
No, but again, to me as a Jew, and this is like I think about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, what he would say, there's something wrong in my mind to not daven for another Jew, even if he went off the derech. I'm talking about the derech, not derech of not being firm, went off the derech of normalcy and violated all the basic rules of a shemarta modus nafshecham, which is, by the way, shocking. Rav Asher Weiss, and the last thing I wanted to discuss today, which we'll get to, not right this second, which is, you know, is there a chiyuv to get the corona shot? Should I make a bracha? He says, I can't say that there's a chiyuv to get the corona shot. I think it's important. I think it's a mitzvah. But I can't say the chiyuv because really, technically, somebody could say, I'm scared of getting shots. I promise you I'm going to stay in my house for the rest of my life. You can't say that. He goes, but we're Jews. And like religious Jews always want to do more over and above what they have to do. Always. We always have this, well, you don't really have to do that, but we do it anyway. We're wearing tzitzis, I hope, today. Not because it's a chiyuv mamish. We don't wear four-corner garments. We're not in Mexico. We don't have ponchos. But we do that because we want to do more over and above and extra. So here we're not going to do the over and above. And that's what makes no sense about this whole case. Because, and this is Rav Asher Weiss, on and on for the last 10 months said, I don't understand. You're always machmir. You should say to the Misrata Briyut, chfapui to you. We don't agree with you. We're going to be more machmir than you. You say you're allowed to daven in shul? No, we're not going to daven in shul because what is wrong with you? And I don't understand. I'm sorry getting a little upset about this because it really bothers me. Why this became a party line topic. And even in the great America, including the five towns, it became, well, if you're the Haredi shuls, so then you're going to open, when they were allowed to be open, where are you going to open? And the young Israelis, because they don't care, because they're modern Orthodox, what is that? No, it's so the opposite. It's crazy. It's mind-boggling to me. When this chapter is over, I understand why a lot of people would have questions and saying, I just don't understand. I'm telling you, I drive through bed. You drive, and you say to yourself, I just don't understand. What don't they get? And you see, and I have a problem with this, some of the shiurim that I like and enjoy, and I'm watching it live, and I say, how's there that many people there? How's it allowed? And you're going to tell them, well, they all had COVID. But it's not the rule. I don't care. It's not the rule. I have to respect a rule called low plug, which is, it doesn't look right, so you still wear your mask. I agree with what you're saying. I just have a problem not davening for another Jew, because again, so you want to have it a little bit different of tefillah and say, listen, the Satmar Rebbe should understand the seriousness of this. And you should understand. I understand what you're saying. I understand the difficulty.
For him, and I said, I'll die with that.
Right.
He
right.
Will not die.
Right.
And I hope that he's not in leadership.
Right. Fair. Besides all the other crazy things they say, by the way. Yeah. Yes, sir.
When I came to Israel.
This is the last question we're going to let you ask today.
Okay.
I don't know. Go ahead. Yeah. Is this a question or a comment about your life? Because we don't care. Go ahead. Fine.
I mean, again, this was back in August. I don't know when these people went. I was...
these people.
So when I came, I asked specifically for Yerushalayim, and that was during your time. They sent me to go down Yerushalayim. And it was, I mean, considering it was a free hotel, I'm not going to complain. It was clean. It was okay. The food was fine. I hear all these horrible stories, and like my brother also went. I think he went to the Kremlin, so he didn't have really any issues.
Listen, people. I don't know. My answer is I don't know. I could tell you I certainly would not go to America. They're canceling it, but I wouldn't have gone to America if I had to go back. I was you go to a hotel. It's not the hotel you think of. That being said, since we're
and also what's it called?
Yeah.
They sent me to a second hotel for whatever reason. I don't know why. But in the first hotel, they're very much, and even the second hotel too, they're very much like not very machmir about bidud.
like, shit, if we had been young, like, one guy invited me to his apartment.
Yeah.
For his apartment.
Yeah, yeah. So I know, that's what I was just going to say. So I know that someone just told me a story that they were in Bijud, and when they got off the plane, they're going to the hotel, they saw what they look like and said, oh, no, you're going on another bus, you're going to go to the Kibbutz Lavi, which is for Haredim. And they are, again, they're staying, they're in Bidud, but like you said, you can't, there's no such thing as Bidud without Minyan. I'm kidding, but that's what they think, right? Yeah. My son, who's in Bidud now, is very lucky that according to the law, he can be out on the porch and listen to my Minyan and at least try that, right? And at least my Riv, he can also go out on the porch and listen to another Minyan a little bit. Sometimes he could listen. But there's also a halacha that says you don't have, you're saving people's lives, you don't have to daven a Minyan. So yeah, there is a question, you know, that, why are they all allowed to daven and come out together? It's strange. I admit that. And maybe that's why there's no point in it. But in any case. So the last shaila is, to end our potpourri today, so is the question of, what should I do when I actually get the shot? Now, finally, I'm actually can say something over you, because you guys always have all the great stuff. You get tested all the time, and you have a you have minyanim all the time, and a shul that. And now I got the shot before you did. So, yeah. Yeah, I got a lollipop at the end. No. By the way, the lady totally did not understand. Like, afterwards, I'm like, she's like, what? What's wrong with you? And then they took me to the cycle ward in the hospital. No, it didn't hurt. My wife and a lot of people report a stiffness in the arm. My arm hurt a little bit. I don't know. But they say the second shock is worse because it's a higher dose. I don't, whatever. So, I mean this in as a good piece of Musar. If you can get to the level, I always think of, you know, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik's halachic man. There are certain people who walk into a room, right, and they see, we all see different things when we look at a situation where we look in a room. So you walk into the room and I look at that guy and we're like, oh my God, he's got a stain on his shirt, right? And if you're a halachic man, you look at the room and go, wow, there's a huge shiloh over here about the mezuzah and that, the way, right? That's, some people think about that. I always comment to Rabbi Savolsky, one of my rabbeim, so whenever I was in a situation with him, that would be the, he was, wow, I don't know how they would put up an Erev in this place. I'm like, what? And when he would come to my house, so I always would love asking questions because he loved to look at a house differently than the way we look at it. And I would show him the closet and say, well, does this one have a mezuzah? And then I went outside and I said, now I have a sukkah shaila for you. And he's like, oh, this is an awesome sukkah shaila because I have, you know, I have three walls, but then one is underneath a roof. And he loved it, you know? Most people don't think like that. Most people don't go outside and have, wow, this is an interesting, right? So when we look at a situation, we have to say to, so when a person gets a shot, the first thing he should think to himself is, well, how do I thank God for this? And if we stop for a moment and we think to ourselves, what has happened here? Think about it. It's taken a year, which is not a lot of time compared to other generations. A year is not, and there's literally a vaccine. You live in a generation where you're probably thinking to yourself, I know, why wasn't it quicker? Why did it take him so long, right? And here in Israel, as I said, which makes no sense either, I'm being honest, it makes no sense that we're the number one country in the world per capita giving out vaccines. And what? Per capita means, doesn't matter. So, and in Beit Shemesh, for some reason, they got their hand on too many. I'm not too many, it's not a joke. They're actually sending texts out to people, please come and get it. Even if you're 16 and older, just come. Because it expires at the end of the night. So it's crazy. So the question is, how do I respond? How do I respond to it? So many people say, well, what about a bracha? What? Oh, so that's what we're talking about. So I don't have all the detailed details. Rav Asher Weiss wrote a piece this week on it. Mordechai Eliyahu was the first person that I saw. And when right before I got the shot, one of the great things about living in Eretz Yisrael, she was a frum nurse. And I said to her, I said, what are people doing before they get the shot? What are they saying? So she said to me, a lot of people are saying the tefillah that Rav Eliyahu says. Rav Eliyahu came out with a tefillah before you get the chisun. Moedim anachnu lach Hashem elokeinu elokei avoseinu elokei kol basa borei rufuot she'ata chonei lamdas lamlei lanosh bina, right? V'chulu, that lemotzei Chisun lemagefa. Yehi ratzon v'necha shechisun hazeh yimanea et ha hit pashtut mi magefa v'yatzil chayim shel alfei riva b'yisalam ano Hashem shalach v'chulu v'chulu. Beautiful tefillah. Beautiful. Only Rav, you know, Rav Eliyahu could. And then others like Rav Schechter, when he was interviewed afterwards, said, and I just saw the pictures, and you see, like, it looked like he was very emotional. You can't see he's wearing a mask, as Rav Schechter is. He said, yeah, I think you should make a bracha of a tov v'ameitiv. Yeah. So let's just for a moment understand what the difference between the brachas of Shechayanu and tov v'ameitiv. This is not a formal shir that, but Shechayanu is a bracha, as Rav Asher Weiss writes, that's one that we know most famously from Lizman Lizman, that we make on Yontif, right? When something is new, right? A new Yontif, we say Shechayanu, and it should mean something to us, especially during COVID. I remember the Shechayanu I made at the Seder. Maybe I'll never forget it, I hope. It meant something to me that I've come to the Seder. On one hand, Shechayanu is a very positive and simcha bracha, but how sad I was that I was happy that I'm sitting for the first time in my life. This is not a joke. The first time in my life in my own home. Not that I don't like going to a hotel, but sad that my family, my parents weren't there. My parents have been there almost every Pesach with us since I'm married, even before I'm married. So that was sad. But Shechayanu, I said, I made it. This is a difficult time. Shechayanu means a lot more. That's the Lizman Lizman. The more, right? And the more famous one, and then you have obviously different simchas that a person has, which we'll actually discuss when you say Shechayanu, when you don't. And then there's the more famous one, which we know in Shechayanu, is when I buy new clothing, which we'll get in a moment, when I buy a new, new kelim maybe a car, something that gives me simcha, I make a bracha of Shechayanu. So this is a big shaila, and fruits are very famous. And the only time we ever know about the Shechayanu and fruits is when?
Rosh Hashanah.
Everybody's like, all of a sudden, so machmer in this. There are those that argue, poskim that argue, I heard this from Rabbi Salusky as well, that maybe we don't make a Shechayanu today. And actually, I once had a conference call. It wasn't supposed to be a conference call. I was calling Rabbi Salusky when he was on his way to YU. And he said, it's a good shaila. Let me ask. I'm in the car with Rabbi Talbis, another great Rosh Hashiva from YU. And he says, hold on, they put me on speaker. MTA, yeah. So, here is my shaila. The reason why people argue that there's no simcha today on fruits is because we're so spoiled. In America, you go into any Korean fruit market, you can get any fruit anytime you want. I challenge you now. Not right now, but tell Rav Paltier, Rav Hartstein said we have to leave and go to the Merkaz. Go to the Merkaz. Go to the fruit store. Go to the fruit store. No, Rav Hartstein said it's okay. Right? Go to the fruit store and get me, if you can, a kilo of grapes. You're going to be very insulted and disappointed in it. There's no grapes anymore. It's done. Grape season is over. We're lucky. We're actually seeing strawberries now. So strawberries. Okay, tell you a good strawberry story. I haven't seen strawberries since this summer. It's been a good 5-6 months. And my wife gets a text. There's a woman, a nurse that works in her nursing home, whose husband has a strawberry field. Strawberry field. Has a strawberry field. And she's selling it for ridiculously cheap. So my wife got, I don't know, 2 kilo, whatever. So we brought it home. We were so excited. Okay, first we had to have the whole ceremony of Trumas and Maestros because it was quite obvious that she didn't take Trumas and Maestros from what my wife told me. And when you don't know what it means, when you say it, you know that there's a problem. So fine, take Trumas and Maestros, and then you have to do the debugging of it. Some people say strawberries in Israel are very problematic because of bugs. Okay, we're not as machmir. So we did. I followed the rules and regulations of the OU, and hopefully there are no bugs in it. And I have to tell you, that first delicious, and they were delicious, great, delicious strawberries. Wow. Shechayanu. I tie it to Rabbi Salusky. You don't understand, Rabbi. It's what we call Metzius. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would always, you know, would say, it's a Metzius. It's a Metzius. And he didn't like Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his grandfather, never liked to say it's Metzius. Just the way the things are. Now, you want to have a real machlekes, you know? So Rabbi Salusky said, maybe you're right. I can always get grapes. Go to any place. What do you mean? There's no such thing in America you can't get. In life in general, you know, how can it be? I want, I get. What do you mean? How much is it going to cost, you know? There's a price for everything. So one could argue that there's no real simcha. What about buying a suit? So I'm not sure. A person buys a suit, I don't know. Does he have so much simcha? It depends how often you buy suits. You could have the same person. Sorry, not the same person. You could have two different people walk into the same store, right? They go into what's that place on Central Avenue and in Sintinek, the fanish, the suit store? Emporio.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And they get a suit for $699. And one guy's like, I can't believe I spent all this money on it. And I didn't want to go to the mall. It's COVID, whatever. And he makes a shechiana b'chol koichel, you know? And the other guy's like, I can't believe I just got this cheap $699. Right? Why? Because I'm a business guy, and I usually have a guy that comes to my office. It's very, very popular. And he makes the suits, and it fits me perfect. This is a suit. And I, the guy from Israel, right, can go into Marshall's or go into Century 21 like it happened. And they're closing, closing, closing. And shockingly, even though Century 21 is like, in Bergen Mall, is like Jew Central, and everybody's a 42 short like me. And I find a suit, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this. This is a fancy suit. I can't even remember now what it was. It wasn't Saks Fifth Avenue. I forgot. A company that sounds fancy. And how can I not remember? Anyway.
Gucci.
Gucci. So, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe this. I'm like, oh, for sure it's not going to fit. It's mismatched. And it fit pretty good. You know, can't be so machmir when. And the shoe was $95. So now you're going to tie it to me. Well, I have a great simcha, but it was only night. Do you make a shot? I said a shachiyah. But the other guy who gets a suit from Century 21 would be like, oh, yvay, I'm so poor now. I can't believe I had to stop in Century. This is so embarrassing. I was seen here. Right? I had to go to Marshall. So it could be, and not could be, it is lahalacha. It's a bracha based on how you feel. Okay, weiter. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about a guy who buys a new car. That first time that you buy a car and spend $25,000, $30,000 on a car, he says, what a simcha. I can afford a car. How do you not make a shachiyano on that? So Rav Moshe says, that's true, except it's not a shachiyano. It's a hatove amitiv. There's a second bracha. Hatove amitiv, when it's for the klal, when it's something that other people will get hana from, you make hatove amitiv. Just as beautiful of a bracha. And that is the difference between when you have a boy and a girl. Right? One's Hatov Yametiv, one's Shachiyano, if I'm not mistaken. A girl, because of what she will provide the world with, which is future children, I believe, is Hatov Yametiv, I think. And a Shachiyano is a boy. Right? No. Everywhere. Then at the Bris, which is where we're going to get to, at the Bris, this is the Iker Taina of... So let's just go back to Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he says, on a car, you make Hatov Yametiv. Unless it's a car, it's only going to be used for you. You know, you get a Corvette or something, it's a two-seater. And it's meant for you. Nobody else is going to ever drive it. Nobody else is allowed to. Okay. So here in the yeshiva, Rav Boaz loves making Tove Meitiv. Every time there was an event, we put up a new paroches, you know, Tove Meitiv. And I remember one time I helped him donating something for the yeshiva, and he says, Rav Hartstein, we're going to make an announcement after medical. I say, I'm not making a bracha. I'm scared of making brachas with the shame of malachos. You know, in any case. So comes along Rav Asher Weiss, and he says, the time that we don't say a shechiyanu on something is the machloikis lefi Ashkenazim, when it comes to Bris Milah. Memela, Bris Milah is one of the most beautiful times in the history. So we should say a Shechiyano. How come we don't say a Shechiyano? Sar Diyanuka. The baby's in a tremendous amount of pain. The baby's crying. Right? It's not right. It's, what?
Cry babies.
Yeah, well, you know,
yeah. Literally. So comes along Rav Asher Weiss, and he says if the Sar, then you shouldn't. He answers the Gruz Minog. We follow Minog Grun in Eretz Yisrael, usually. And he said, yeah, the Minog in Eretz Yisrael is that we do Shechiyano. I always ask a quiz question to my kids. I actually reviewed this with my son Yonatan on Friday night. We have a lot of time on our hands Friday nights. I said, let's learn a little bit. So I said, I have a quiz question for you. What bracha did I say at your bris that I didn't say at your other two brothers' bris? Ooh, hard one. It's a Shechiyano. We were in Eretz Yisrael, right here in the Beis Medrash. We said a Shechiyano. My other son as well, Avishai. Right? We don't make a Shechiyano in America because we don't follow the Minhag HaGra. It's not as accepted. So says Rav Asher Weiss, okay, that's a technicality, but when it causes pain, you can't make a Shechiyano on it. And therefore, I wouldn't make a Shechiyano when you get the corona vaccine, even if that pain is like a little bit, my arm's going to hurt, but your arm's going to hurt. There are people who said they couldn't sleep. My wife said it's very hard to sleep that night because my arm. So he says, you don't make a bracha on that. So Rav Shechler would disagree. He would say, Shechiyano is not the appropriate bracha because it's a Tov Yametiv, because we're helping the world. I think that's a fair statement. But then I would argue, my brother-in-law made this comment, Rabbi Dovid Gottlieb, and I think he's right about it. Why would you make the bracha now and not at the second dose? The first dose doesn't help you as much as the second dose is really... So is it because it's a delayed Shechiyano, a delayed Tov Yametiv? No.
Because what's up is like, let's say
you can't make two brachas on one thing.
You have grape juice and then you have wine, and you make Hatov Yametiv on the wine.
What did you make Hashechiyano on?
No, I'm saying, like, you...
You never make two brachas on one thing.
Well,
Yeah, it's two different doses. Right? You make what's it called?
No, because the
Kiddush on your grape juice, and then you make Hatzava Metzi, but the one that you have later.
Right, but they're not two brachas. One's a bracha Hananin, and one is a bracha on Hashava Foda. It's not two brachas. This is the same bracha. We're just defining which of the two brachas do I make. I don't think you can make two brachas on the same item. I don't say it's two different items, but the first item is not a... Again, I understand, and I've seen the videos of the people who said the Shachianu, and I understand the great simcha that a person has in getting this vaccine. And not only that, I'm saying it's an amazing thing, because when I... My kavana, first of all, I'll be honest, I didn't make a bracha. I said a perek Tehillim, Mizmor Lasoda. I think that's a beautiful thing to say. If there's Hashem, give Hodah to Hashem. And I tell you what my kavanah is when I got the shot. When that lady stuck me with it, and my wife wasn't able to take a prick picture of the picture, it was like a weird picture of me. But I thought to myself, wow, now I can not worry about, you know, visiting my parents. And with this shot, maybe my parents can come visit us. I'm saying, I think about my personal future and saying, wow, this is much easier. Right. When I went in last time, how did I have to see my parents, you know, sitting outside with masks on? Maybe that will change. That's a simcha gedolah, something we didn't appreciate, seeing our parents. My children have not seen their grandparents in way over a year. That's the idea. Okay, I'm way over time, but I will take any questions that you might have.